This morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians, and the passage we'll read is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. You're welcome to follow along in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, if you were here last week, you'll remember that we've started a new little series through the book of Ephesians. Last week we read the entire book together. And remember that Ephesians divides up into two parts, basically. The first three chapters, Paul's just dumping a lot of incredible theology on us, and he's saying, this is who you are in Jesus. This is your identity. And then in the second half of the book, he says, so be who you are in Jesus. Here's who you are. Now live like who you are. We're going to have like a year to figure out what that means. At least a year, that's my goal. This morning, though, I just want to focus on verse 3. Okay, and you'll remember, this is the first part of the longest sentence recorded in the Bible. It's like just this explosion of theological praise. Verse 3. The sentence stretches all the way to the end of verse 14 in the Greek. It's broken up into four or five sentences in the English version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Who are we? What's our identity in Jesus? We are blessed people. Paul is blessing God for blessing us with every conceivable blessing. Blessing is at the heart of Christian identity. Paul is blessing God for blessing us with every blessing. But you think, well, that's great. Blessing. What does that mean? You know, usually in Christian circles, when we hear people talking about blessing, they're talking about things going well for them at the level of their life circumstances, right? So I was just so blessed to get that new job. Or, I'm really thankful for your friendship. It's such a blessing. Or, man, God has really been blessing our finances this year. Or, I haven't been sick in over 5 years. What a blessing. And I think I get what that means. I mean, that's legitimate. Like, every good gift comes from God. The gifts are a blessing. Okay, fine. But when Paul is talking about blessing, he's talking about something that's just far beyond or far deeper than things going well at the level of our life's circumstances. And we know this because we know something of Paul's circumstances when he was writing this letter. And things are not going well for him. He's in prison. He's nearing the end of his life. His health is failing. He's nearly blind. He has a thorn in the flesh that he calls like a messenger from Satan. Oh, yeah, and it won't be long before his head gets chopped off. And this is the man who can't contain himself, who is just exploding in theological praise. Praising God for blessing us with every conceivable blessing. Kind of makes me wonder, what is Paul talking about? I mean, it'd be one thing if Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with well-paying jobs, conflict-free relationships, nice homes, obedient children, toilets that don't leak, a youth group room free of mold and mildew. That's something we can understand. That's something we can get excited about. But spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, what is that? Sure sounds spiritual. Sure sounds religious. Sounds pious. Has a nice ring to it. Spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. But does it mean anything? We hear spiritual, and immediately we're off into some kind of other abstract realm, right? Usually, I don't know about you, but I associate spiritual things with immaterial things, and so I hear spiritual blessing, and I'm thinking of things that lack substance. And that, for that reason, maybe lack reality. It's like it's out there somewhere. It's far off. It doesn't intersect with my real life. I wonder if spiritual blessing for all practical purpose kind of sounds like no blessing. In heavenly places? Well, I mean, that just sounds really, really far away. Might as well be nowhere. Heavenly places. Where is that? And I wonder if that's how we hear this. God has blessed us with a whole lot of nothing. Nowhere. And even if that's not what we hear, I wonder if that's how we live. Like people who have been given a whole lot of nothing, nowhere. And I wonder if that's maybe why our lives are so often characterized by anxiety and discouragement, because we've got nothing, nowhere. Well, what is a blessing anyway? It's a blessing. The Greek literally it's the joining of two words, and so it means good word. A blessing is literally a good word. And so if you think about it, in a way, the entire Bible is a story of God's blessing. In Genesis 1, God speaks a good word, and creation is. Right? Creation just happens. He speaks things into existence. He declares them good. He explicitly blesses Adam and Eve in chapter 1, verse 28 of Genesis. He blesses them. He blesses the seventh day in chapter 2, verse 3. He blesses Noah later in Genesis. Then in chapter 12, he blesses Abraham, who is called to be a blessing to all the nations. Now later, Jacob steals Esau's blessing. And it's not too long before, after a while, people start wondering, well, where is the blessing? Where is the blessing? I mean, they look around for the promised blessing and they think, is this what God was talking about? This? Because this doesn't seem so great. But remember, this is Paul talking. And things don't seem so great for him, and yet he can't contain himself. He can't contain himself. He's exploding with praise for God for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We hear spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and our eyes kind of glaze over. Spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That means nothing. It's just easy to get lost in abstraction, just to brush it off as so much pious jargon. But what is spiritual in Scripture? Let me ask you this. Is spiritual less real than material? Let me ask you this. Is God less real than his creation? I wonder, is spiritual even separate from material? You know, when God creates man, he breathes his spirit into a pile of dust, and there's a human being. I think these spiritual blessings Paul has in mind are the realest, most substantive, most valid, most sufficient blessings possible. If anything, they are infinitely more real than your paycheck. What about heavenly places? Is that some far-off future place that has nothing to do with the real world? Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's what Paul means, at least. Later in Ephesians, when Paul's talking about the armor of God, we'll be looking at this about, I don't know, September 2014. But this is what he'll say. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And what does he mean? That these spiritual forces of evil have nothing to do with our daily lives? No, he means that this is a present, very real battle that we're engaged in right now. He's clearly talking about something we face right here, right now, not far off and distant, but immediate, present, here, now. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what at hand means? It means it's right here. It's like, here's your hand and it's here. It's right here. The kingdom of heaven is here. Now. Not far off and distant. And so when Paul says that the spirit, that these blessings are spiritual and that they're heavenly, I think he's wanting to say that they're the realest blessings possible. More substantive, more valid, more relevant, more sufficient than you can possibly imagine. Not less. I think what Paul is saying is that God has given us every good gift that really matters. He's not talking about blessings that amount to nothing, nowhere. He's talking about blessings that are everything, everywhere. He's talking about a universe saturated in the grace and love of God. And so we'll have time over the next few weeks to look at these blessings, because this verse has a context, right? And I mean, the rest of verses 3 through 14 are digging into what is this blessing. But for this morning, I just want to make one point about the blessings. This has been blowing my mind for the past couple of weeks. I still don't know what to make of it, but just try to understand this. All the blessings are already given. Every single one of them is already given. I mean, that cuts against so much anxious religion. That cuts against the default mode of my heart. Look at the language Paul uses. He could have said, praise God, because God is going to bless us someday with spiritual blessings if. And then the question I'd want to ask is, if what? Right? Oh my goodness, I want the blessing, so what do I have to do? What do I have to do to make sure I get God's blessing? Maybe I'd go to the Bible to find out. What do I have to do to get God's blessing? Maybe I'd open it up to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and I'd read this. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then I'd read to the end of the chapter and I'd read this. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So there's that if. And doesn't that just make sense? I mean, it makes sense. If I were gonna create a religion, I'd create it something like that, you know. Here's God. He's got a whole lot of blessings that you might be able to get if. Every single day of your life, you are tempted to live as if there's an if at the end of God's promise for blessing. Every single day of your life, that's the temptation for you and for me, is to live as if there's an if. But that is not what Paul says. He says that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And the Greek couldn't be clearer. The Greek has all these different tenses for verbs. And the verb that Paul uses here is in the aorist tense, which means that this is a past completed action. It's finished. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So let's say that I'm a guy who has a lot of cookies. And I tell my oldest son, Isaiah, all the cookies I have are yours. They're yours. And then Isaiah, what's he going to ask? I'll tell you what Isaiah's going to ask first thing. What do I have to do to get them? And I say, no. Listen, they're yours. You don't have to do anything to get the cookies. The cookies are yours. Second question Isaiah's going to ask is, well, which ones? Which ones do I get? Which ones are you going to give to Judah? And I go all Old Testament on him, and I say, no, you're the firstborn, dude. They're yours. All the cookies are yours. And what Paul's saying is that God gives us all the cookies. He doesn't say God gives us all the cookies. He says God has given you, in the aorist tense, all the cookies. Except it's a lot better than cookies. What cookies? Who cares about cookies? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So that God you sometimes imagine, I don't know how you picture him, big white beard, he's up there. He's got a storehouse full of blessings, and he's just kind of waiting to hand them out, to dish them out here and there according to obedience, according to faithfulness. That God doesn't exist. He doesn't exist, this God up there with a storehouse full of blessings, waiting to dish them out here and there as rewards for obedience and faithfulness. He's not this stingy, withholding God. He's not up there in heaven with a bunch of good cookies, holding them back. He has given us every good gift that really matters. And some of us don't believe that. I don't believe that. It's like too good to be true. We live like there are things we need to do in order to unlock God's special blessing. How does that at all connect with what Paul's saying? Or we live as if there are these spiritual hoops we have to jump through in order to get God's blessing. And the result is anxiety and striving and always second-guessing the character and love of God. Have I done enough today to please him? Have I done enough today for him to be favorable toward me? Have I obeyed enough this week for him to love me? Will I get the blessing? And Paul says, you have been blessed with every conceivable blessing that matters. Jesus is called the Word of God. He's God's eternal good word over the world. And we'll get a sense of just how good he is as we look at the rest of Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. But the important thing I've been just baffled by this past week is that all the blessings have a name. And the name is Jesus. He's the blessing. None of God's gifts are separate from him. None of God's good gifts are separate from Jesus. What God does is he gives us Jesus, and in giving us Jesus, he gives us all things. In Jesus, we have everything we need. Let's pray that we would believe that. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you that it's true and that you give it to us because you love us. I thank you, God, that this conception I so often have of you as being up there, far off, removed, waiting to dish out rewards or punishments according to my behavior or my faith or my obedience. I thank you that Paul just destroys that image of you. He shows you to be so full of grace. I pray that you would help me. I pray that you would help us as a church live like it's true, lived as people who have all things in Christ, who have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.